So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 16, a description of Jambudvip. And again, there's a lot of prose, so we're just going to read through. Text number 26. There are other mountains beautifully arranged around the foot of Mount Meru, like the filaments around the whorl of a lotus flower. Their names are Kuranga, Kurara, Kusumba, Vaikunka, Trikuta, Shishira, Patanga, Ruchaka, Nisadha, Sinivasa, Kapila, Shanka, Vaidurya, Jarudhi, Hungsa, Rusabha, Naga, Kalangjara, and Narada. Text 27. On the eastern side of Sumeru Mountain are two mountains named Jatara and Devakuta, which extend to the north and south for 18,000 yojanas. Similarly, on the western side of Sumeru are two mountains named Pavana and Pariyatra, which also extend north and south for the same distance. On the southern side of Sumeru are two mountains named Kailasa and Karavira, which extend east and west for 18,000 yojanas. Who stays on Mount Kailash? Shiva, yes. And on the northern side of Sumeru, extending for the same distance east and west, are two mountains named Trishinga and Makara. The width and height of all these mountains is 2,000 yojanas. 16,000 miles. Sumeru, a mountain of solid gold, shining as brilliantly as fire, is surrounded by these eight mountains. Text 28. In the middle of the summit of Meru is the township of Lord Brahma. Wow. In the middle of the summit of Meru is the township of Lord Brahma. Each of its four sides is calculated to extend for 10 million yojanas, 80 million miles. It is made entirely of gold, and therefore learned scholars and sages call it Sata Kaumbi. And this is text 29, and this ends the chapter. Surrounding Brahmapuri in all directions are the residences of the eight principal governors of the planetary systems, beginning with King Indra. These abodes are similar to Brahmapuri, but are one-fourth the size. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur confirms that the townships of Lord Brahma and the eight subordinate governors of the planetary systems beginning with Indra are mentioned in other Puranas. Brahma's township is known as Manoyati, and those of his assistants, such as Indra and Agni, are known as Amaratvati, Tejovati, Sangyamani, Krisanga, Shradhavati, Gantavati, Mahodaya, and Yasovati. The Brahmapuri is situated in the middle, and the other eight puris surround it in all directions. So there's not much I could say about that. So we'll go right on to the next chapter. This is text number one. And this is called, this chapter is Descent of the River Ganges. Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, Lord Vishnu, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, appeared as Vamanadev in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. Then he extended his left foot to the end of the universe and pierced a hole in its covering with the nail of his big toe. Through the hole, the pure water of the causal ocean entered this universe as the Ganges River, having washed the lotus feet of the Lord, which are covered with reddish powder. The water of the Ganges acquired a very beautiful pink color. Every living being can immediately purify his mind of material contamination by touching the transcendental water of the Ganges. Yet its waters remain ever pure. Because the Ganges directly touches the lotus feet of the Lord before descending within this universe, she is known as Vishnupadi. Later, she received other names like Janavi and Bhagavati. After 1,000 millenniums, the water of the Ganges descended on Dhruvaloka, the topmost planet in this universe. Therefore, all learned sages and scholars proclaim Dhruvaloka to be Vishnupada, situated on Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. Purport. In this verse, Sukadeva Goswami describes the glories of the Ganges River. The water of the Ganges is called Patita Pavani, the deliverer of all sinful living beings. It is a proven fact that a person who regularly bathes in the Ganges is purified both externally and internally. Externally, his body becomes immune to all kinds of disease, and internally he gradually develops a devotional attitude toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Throughout India, many thousands of people live on the banks of the Ganges, and by regularly bathing in her waters, they are undoubtedly being purified both spiritually and materially. Many sages, including Shankaracharya, have composed prayers in praise of the Ganges, and the land of India itself has become glorious because such rivers as the Ganges, Yamuna, Godavari, Kaveri, Krishna, and Narmada flow there. Anyone living on the land adjacent to these rivers is naturally advanced in spiritual consciousness. Srila Madhvacharya says, Varahe vama padang tu tad anyesu tu dakshinam param kalpesu bhagavan ujahara tivikramaha. Standing on his right foot and extending his left to the edge of the universe, Lord Varuna became known as Tivikrama, the incarnation who performed three heroic deeds. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshum Litam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Gota Vatsalung Pangun Lung Hayate Green Nitkripa Taraham Vande Sigurum Dinataranam Vancha kalpa tribhyascha kripa sindhubhye vacha patitanam pavanevyo vaisnavevyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this Ganges River is a very, very purifying river. And as Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, that even the Ganges may be unclean, still the purifying effect is there because it's not an ordinary river. Of course, now the government of India is neglecting both the Ganges and the Yamuna, and therefore they're very, very dirty. It's sad to see. But now we have some good leaders there, and there's been a lot of talk of cleaning these rivers up. So let's see if this actually happens. Hopefully it does. So I don't know much about the Ganges River, There's a book about the Ganges River. I haven't read it. So maybe we just go on to the next verse, which I could say something a little bit more about. This is a text to Dhruva Maharaj, the famous son of Maharaj Uttanapada, is known as the most exalted devotee of the Supreme Lord because of his firm determination in executing devotional service. Knowing that the sacred Ganges water washes the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, Dhruva Maharaj, situated on his own planet, to this very day accepts that water on his head with great devotion. Because he constantly thinks of Krishna very devoutly within the core of his heart, he is overcome with ecstatic anxiety. Interesting, huh? Ecstatic anxiety. Tears flow from his half-open eyes and eruptions appear on his entire body. Purport. When a person is firmly fixed in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is described as Viravrata, fully determined. Such a devotee increases his ecstasy in devotional service more and more. Thus, as soon as he remembers Lord Vishnu, his eyes fill with tears. This is a symptom of a Mahabhagavat. Dhruva Maharaj maintained himself in that devotional ecstasy, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave us a practical example of transcendental ecstasy when he lived at Jagannath Puri. His pastimes are fully narrated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this Dhruva story, this pastime of Dhruva Maharaj is pretty, actually it's pretty fascinating. And even Lord Chaitanya, he said it's described that he read it over and over and over again, over 100 times. Yeah, so it doesn't get old. It's always very enlivening. So Dhruva Maharaj, he was in his father's palace, his palace also, and he was, his brother Uttama got on the lap of his father, and Dhruva, he wanted to go on the lap as well. But the mother of Uttama, Dhruva's stepmother, stopped him. And she said, you're not qualified to go on the lap of the king because you didn't take birth from my womb. If you want to go on the lap of the king, then you'll have to take birth from my womb. So she was a little proud. In other words, she's saying to him that you have to die, then take birth again, but through my womb, if you want to get on the lap of the king. A little puffed up. So, he was very angry. You know, he's a Kshatriya. He's born into a, you know, Kshatriya family. So he was very, very angry. It's described that his lips were shaking and his body was quivering. He's just so angry. And she said, and this Suruchi, she told them, actually she gave some good advice. She said, if you want to go on the lap of the king, you have to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So although she was so proud, she gave some good advice. If you want anything, you got to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he went to his mother and explained what had happened. And other people in the palace, they also saw the drama. So they explained it all to Suniti, and she was also very upset. But then she said to Dhruva, don't have any ill feeling toward her. Don't wish any inauspiciousness toward her. Don't have any animosity or enmity toward her. Because if you have these feelings toward her, then it won't be good for you, because these feelings, they'll disturb you. You know? So don't have any ill feelings toward her. And it's mentioned in the Vedas, 9 symptoms of someone who is advancing in spiritual life. Kshantir avyarthi kaladvam virakti manasunyata. Ashabandha samudvena namagani siddharuji. Asaktis tadginakyane priestistis vasate sale. The first one is forgiving. A devotee is very forgiving. So she more or less told Dhruva, forgive her. Forgive her, don't let it disturb. And there's an example given that if you're holding animosity towards someone, enmity or jealousy or anger towards someone, then it's just like taking poison, drinking poison, and thinking that the person who you have animosity towards is going to die. Interesting example, huh? Because this is poison. To have animosity towards others, enmity and anger towards other people, you know, who have offended you, then it actually disturbs our whole existence as well. So better be forgiving. And even more difficult than forgiving is to forget. It's even harder to forget. To forgive and then forget also, that's hard. So therefore tolerance is so important. Forgiving is so important. You know, it's natural that in this world there's some friction, there's some, you know, between people, even in our society. So devotee is very forgiving. There was one instance where Prabhupada was at a program in Canada and he was speaking. And there was one Indian gentleman in the audience. And he, after Prabhupada spoke, he stood up and he said, why are you bringing this Hindu religion to this Christian country? It was a criticism. He was complaining. And the devotees were, because this person actually had, you know, he was visiting the temple sometime. And the devotees couldn't figure out, what is this guy doing? And devotees were very upset. But Prabhupada didn't take it seriously. He said, I must have offended him sometime in the past, so therefore he's acting in this way towards me. He didn't take it seriously. He just, yeah, it's okay. Prabhupada forgave him. It's a public program, isn't it? It's a, you know, it was a scene. Yeah. Prabhupada is very forgiving. This is natural for a devotee. Once we take seriously to Krishna consciousness, we're very forgiving. So kshanti avyartha. Avyartha kaladvin means don't waste time. So many times Prabhupada said, don't waste time. Time is very, very, very valuable. And therefore Chanaka Pandit says, you cannot buy back 1 second of time with all the wealth in the world. It's very, very valuable. But we waste so much time. It's said that in this present age, we've been bombarded by mass weapons of distraction. Yeah. A lot of things distract the living entity. And what is distracting people more now than anything else? Huh? The internet. And on the internet, what is the most distracting element? Facebook. Of course you can preach. Many devotees are preaching with Facebook also, but there's a lot of distraction. I was speaking about this one time and one devotee said she spends sometimes 8 hours in a day. And I mentioned this somewhere else, and another Maharaji said, only 8 hours? So it's a big distraction. Of course, there's Krishna conscious things on there, but you'll benefit more if you read Prabhupada's books and chant. You'll get much more spiritual benefits. So time is very valuable. So we hear this so much, so I was just curious. So I calculated how many seconds there are in a day. There's 86,400 seconds in a day. That's a lot of seconds. 86,400. And we shouldn't waste one of them. Of course, we need about 20,000 of those for sleeping, rejuvenating. But there's still about 60,000 seconds left. So we got to utilize those seconds properly. And Krishna sees that. If we're utilizing our time properly in the service of Krishna, he sees that and he appreciates. And the more we utilize our time in the service of Krishna, the more we get purified. Kshantir vyartha kaladvang. Viraktir means detachment. So as we advance, as we get closer and closer to Krishna, we become more and more detached from this material existence. Why? Because Krishna consciousness is a higher taste. Visyavani vartante naraha rasyande. Rasavarjan rasopyasa param dasana vartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense gratification, though the taste for the sense objects still remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he's fixed in consciousness. So we should pray for this higher taste, which is there in the service of Krishna. Yeah. Otherwise, we're gonna remain attracted to the temporary things of this world, the illusory, the maya sukaya of this world. There's real happiness. There's tangible, real happiness in the service of Krishna. But this maya sukaya doesn't bring the satisfaction that the soul is looking for. Everyone is hungry. Not so much for food, some people, or water, but people are hungry for this inner happiness, this inner satisfaction, which is found only through pure Krishna consciousness. So we should pray for that higher taste of pure consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness. And Krishna will help us. Tesam sarak yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenu yutite. To those who are constantly devoted to me and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So Krishna gives us the intelligence. If we want it, if we want Krishna, he'll give us that intelligence. He'll give us all direction on how to go back to him. But if we don't, if we have a change of mind, change of heart, and we want to stay in this world, trying to enjoy this material life, then okay, that's what you want. All right. And he'll give us faith. You really want to enjoy? All right, I'll give you faith. He says, iti te jnanam akhyatam guyad guyatamam maya vimrshe shadasheshina yateshi tatakuru. He says, Krishna says, I've given you now even more confidential knowledge. Now you deliberate on this fully and do as you like. So this is Krishna. He's very open. He's liberal. He gave him the knowledge. He gave Arjuna the knowledge, the absolute truth. Now he didn't force it. Now you do as you like. You've heard it. Now do as you like. And what did he say? Nasta mohang smriti labdha karishye vachanam tava. He says, now, my Lord, my illusion is gone. And by your mercy, my knowledge of you has reawakened. Now I'm ready to act as you have instructed. So this is the conclusion of this dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. That Arjuna, he surrendered. So this should be the conclusion of our reading the Bhagavad Gita. Now I'm going to surrender to you, Krishna. We should choose the right choice. We have a choice. We always have that choice. So we should choose the right path back to Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita is so amazing, so wonderful. I was just reading, and Krishna says that having gained knowledge, one becomes free of ignorance. And this knowledge that one attains, by attaining this knowledge, one everything is revealed to him. Everything is revealed to someone who attains this transcendental knowledge, who is free of this ignorance. And he says, just like when the sun rises, everything is lit up. Everything is clear. Before the sun rises, everything is dark. You can't see much. But when the sun rises, everything is lit up. You can see everything clearly. So when the knowledge of Krishna consciousness rises in our heart, rises in our mind, then everything is revealed. And we see everything clearly. And it's because of this ignorance, Jaya Sri Panchatattva. Because of this ignorance, we can't see things clearly. And therefore, it's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Natevatu svartha gatinghi Vishnu, Dharasayaye bahi artha manina, Andhayathan der ipaniyamanas, Te pisa chantram rudamdi badha. That people do not know what is actually valuable. What they're thinking is very valuable is sense gratification. To have money. And with money, I get sense gratification. They're thinking this is very valuable. But actually, what is very valuable is service to Krishna. This is very valuable, to have a service attitude towards Krishna. And because people don't know about this very valuable consciousness, they're blind and they're being led by other blind people. I was in Vrindavan one time, and to my surprise, there was, we've heard about the three blind men. Three blind men. The first one was blind, and there was another blind person behind him with his hand on his shoulder, and there was another blind person behind him with his hand on his shoulder. So the two blind people in the back are being led by the blind person in the front. Like, wow, okay. If you're being led by blind people, you don't know where you're going. Of course, maybe this blind person knew the city better than the other two. Maybe. But now, throughout the world, the leaders, they're blind. They don't know what is good for society. And everybody else is being led by them. So therefore, we have the chaotic situation we have throughout the world. So, also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's stated, Prema dana vana vyate dridra jivan. Dasa kori vitana mori deha prema dana. If one does not have love for you, Krishna, then one is considered to be poor. And one's life is considered to be useless if one doesn't attain love for you. Therefore, my dear Lord, please give me love for you. Or, my dear Lord, please give me service for you. And all I want in return as salary is love for you. So this is the salary that a devotee wants. We don't want money. This is a volunteer society. But what we want as salary is love for Krishna. And that is the biggest, that's the highest salary that anyone can attain. And what's nice is you don't lose this. You get this salary and you never lose it. You go to work and you get a salary, you get some euros, but you lose it. You spend it, and you may become a billionaire, just like this Steve Jobs left his body some years ago, multi-billionaire, $4 billion in the bank. Could he take anything with him? Not even one dime, not a penny. Had to leave it all behind. He earned a lot of salary, a lot of money. Couldn't take it with him. But this salary, this transcendental salary of Krishna bhakti, we take that with us. And even if we don't attain perfection in this lifetime, we don't go back to Godhead, whatever we've gained in this life through our service to Krishna, we keep that. And we start from that level in our next life. Neha bikramanasosti patyavaya vidyate. In this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution. And a little advancement on this path protects one from the most dangerous type of fear. So there's no loss. So just continue on. Hopefully, we'll make it. But even if we don't, we start off again in our next life from that level. So kshantir vyartha kaladam vraktir manasunyata. Manasunyata means free of false ego. Free of false ego. So this ego is a major obstacle. This false ego is a major obstacle to our advancement in spiritual life. And Srila Prabhupada, he mentions in one purport that by practicing Krishna consciousness, this subtle false ego and these material desires, they dissolve. They become dissolved by this powerful practice of Krishna consciousness. So it's this process is it's not easy, but if one is determined, as it's stated here, this viravrata, if one is, this means firmly determined, just like Dhruva Maharaj, he was firmly determined to, actually his desire was to attain a kingdom greater than that of his great-grandfather, who was Lord Brahma. He wanted to have a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. So he was very ambitious. That's probably the biggest material desire that anybody has ever had. So that's what he wanted. And he went to the forest, and when Narada Muni saw him, you know, he tried to convince him, listen, you're just a young boy, 5 years old, go play, you know, don't take this so seriously. You know, so you're insulted, so what? You know, don't take it so seriously. So he said, no. So then he, Narada Muni, upon seeing his determination, he gave him some guidance. And he started this meditation. I was just reading this, that the first month, it was 3 days of taking berries and fruits. The second month, every six days, he would take dry leaves. The third month, every 9 days, he would take some water. And then the fourth month, every 12 days, he would take air. Every 12 days, he would take air. And then on the fifth month, he was standing on one leg. Any of you ever try standing on one leg? I do yoga, so I do this Garuda pose. That's where you're standing on one leg. And I can, you know, if I could do it for 10 seconds without falling over, I'm doing pretty good. So he did it for, I think, a month. One leg. So it's described that he became so powerful that the universe was suffocating, and the demigods complained to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu said, oh, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. And then he went. And by then he had become so advanced that he was meditating on Lord Vishnu within his heart. He was in ecstasy. He had advanced so quickly, in 6 months. He was just meditating on Lord Vishnu within his heart. And then the Lord disappeared from his heart. And he was in anxiety. Oh, my Lord has left. He couldn't see him. Then he opened his eyes, and Lord Vishnu was outside. And he was in ecstasy to see the Lord. And he wanted to say prayers. But he wasn't familiar You know, he's a young boy, 5 years old. So Lord Vishnu, he touched his head, Kanksha, and then he spoke beautiful, wonderful prayers in glorification of Lord Vishnu. So why was he able to? He had this great determination. So to advance in Krishna consciousness, we have to have great determination to serve the Lord, to get purified. And that determination comes from association. We associate with others that are determined, we become determined. We associate with the holy name of Krishna, we become determined. Reading Prabhupada's books, just by reading Prabhupada's books, we get determination. Because Prabhupada had great determination. Incredible determination. What he did is just unbelievable. Now there's a documentary that's just coming out very soon, done by Yadubar Prabhu. And this documentary, it's going out to the public. It was made for the public. Yeah. Anybody remember the name? Do you remember the name of it? Anybody know? I forgot the name of it. Huh? Hare Krishna Mantra? Yeah, Hare Krishna Mantra, the movement of the Swami that started the Hare Krishna movement. I've seen some of it. It's very nice, very well done. I'm sure it's going to be well received, even by the Karmi public. Very well done. So, just one other thing I wanted to mention here is Prabhupada, or it's mentioned here in the verse, ecstatic anxiety. Ecstatic anxiety. And generally, when you're ecstatic, you're not in anxiety, right? Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, is no anxiety. Here, and he's from Dhruvaloka, that's the Vaikuntha also. But here it says, ecstatic anxiety. And there's one instance, one pastime of Prabhupada. A Sankirtan leader went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, the Sankirtan devotees are expressing that book distribution is too much anxiety. You know, we're trying to, you know, get people to take books they'd never heard of, and we're trying to get money from them. And Prabhupada said, no. This is Krishna anxiety. It's good. And he gave the example, just like Mother Yasoda. You know, she would feed Krishna in anxiety. If I don't feed him, how's he going to live? Yeah. And the gopis, you know, it's described that the gopis, they would put their feet on the feet of Krishna on their breast, and they're thinking that our breasts are so hard. And then Krishna would go out in the forest, and his feet are touching the pebbles and the thorns, and they're just like, there's so much anxiety. The gopis are in so much anxiety seeing Krishna walking in the forest of Vrindavan. Prabhupada explained that they faint. They faint. They're in so much anxiety upon seeing Krishna walking through the forest of Vrindavan. So there's also spiritual anxiety, which is good. It's good to be in anxiety that people are suffering, and I want to help them become free of their suffering. Yeah, that's anxiety. It's good anxiety. Yeah. So there's spiritual anxiety, which here it says, which is ecstatic anxiety. Yeah. So, on that note, is there any question or comment? Correction? Yes.
And ask how we live, what we do, what our life looks like.
Yes, those are the people that sometimes like to waste our time. You'll meet people like that on Sankirtan. So what you have to do, in a very nice way, you tell them, you know, you're a very nice person, and I like you. But I have very important service here. So please forgive me, but I have to speak to others. And if you say it in a nice way, then they won't mind. But there's another thing you have to watch out for, is Christians will sometimes go to speak to you just to waste your time so that you can't go to other people and offer books to others. So, yeah, beware. And sometimes they get so arrogant that I've had them many times, they say, I'm going to be here making sure that you can't sell any books to anybody. And they break up sales. So what do you do then? Well, what I would do is I would tell them, please, sir, wait here. I'm going to go get the police. Okay? So you can just wait here for me, and I'll get the police. Yeah. There was one time we were in the airport, and we were distributing books. And sometimes, you know, sometimes people, they don't have enough room in their bag, so they just leave the book on a table somewhere, and they leave. So there was one demon Christian who, he would find these books and he would rip them in half in front of our face. And after he did that two times, I went and I found one of our friends. He's an undercover policeman. You know, they were undercover policemen. They were catching people that were bringing drugs and pickpocketers. In Miami airport, there's a lot of pickpocketing and a lot of drugs going through. So we have some friends that are undercover cops. So I found one of my friends and I said, you know, I got this crazy guy. He's ripping up books in front of our face. Please, can you come and help? He said, sure, no problem. Show me where the guy is. So I'm walking with this undercover policeman and this demon comes up to the person that I'm with thinking that it's just some passenger. And he said, don't buy a book from these guys. It's a cult, you know, they're ripping people off. And then the police officer pulls out his badge and says, you have 2 seconds to get out of my face, and if you don't, I'm going to put you in jail. And the guy went, he just took off running. So we never heard from him again. It's nice to have policemen on our side. So, yeah, sometimes Christians will harass us, so you have to know how to deal with them. And sometimes people are just nice and they want to talk to you, but you just have to, in a very nice way, let them know that I have important service here that I'm doing. Okay? Anybody else? Yes? I blanked out because I was thinking that he was speaking. Well, doesn't mean it's not transcendental. From the heavenly planets, you can go to the spiritual world. They did enough pious activities so they can go to the heavenly planets, but it doesn't stop there. It's not that sometimes we hear that by performing pious activities, you eventually you use up your pious activities and again you come down. kshinye punye march yokam vashanti. But no, not necessarily. If one is a devotee, you can go to heaven and you could advance further, right, on to the spiritual world. You don't have to stay here in the earthly middle planetary systems and then advance. Of course, there are some distractions in the heavenly planets. There's more, you know, opportunity for sense gratification. But if one is a devotee, he'll continue on in his devotional career and go back to Godhead. Well, if we're chanting, but we're life after life, chanting inattentively, we're committing offenses, you know, while we're chanting, then yeah, it could take millions of lifetimes. We have to stop our offenses. We got to surrender. It's not just by chanting that we're going to become pure devotees. We have to chant with determination, with a desire to serve Krishna. Yeah. We got to surrender. Okay? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.